So here the pasuk says, "Kol ben Chetzron." Instead of "Kol ben Yefune," "Kol ben Chetzron." Holidus azuva isha. He gave birth to a girl, azuva isha. The es yiriyos. Another person. The Ela Baneha, and the following are her children. Yosha, Vishoiva, the Ardain Shain. They had three children. Yosha, Shoiva, and Ardain. Shrek the Gemara, was phenomena does Kola ben Chetzron. This is the same Kola that we know from Chumash. His real name is Kola ben Yefune. Shrek the Gemara ben Chetzron, ben Yefune who? And for the Gemara, no. His father's name was really Chetzron, and in Chumash, when he's done, it's called Ben Yefune. That's a nickname. The real name is Chetzron. Yefune is a nickname. What is it called? What's the nickname Yefune? He's a Ben Shepona Me'atzas HaMeraglim. He worked very hard not to fall in with the Meraglim. Apparently the pressure was so great to go along with the 10 Meraglim. So he, the Gemara is going to say later, Et Kefastan Esim, and he was Mispalel. On the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, yeah. And then Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Yoshua, Koy Yoshiach HaMiatzis Meraglim. He was mispal for Yoshua that he shouldn't fall in. Apparently the Gemara assumes that the pressure was tremendous, that all the 12 Meraglim should give a negative report. So the Gemara says his nickname, Kol Ben Yefune, the name of his father was Chetzron. The real name was Chetzron. When we call him Kol Ben Yefune, he was Ben Shepona Miatzas Meraglim. Feg the Gemara, but it's still a kasha. Because there is a pasuk that says, Osniel ben Knaz was the brother of Kola ben Yefune. So, all right, Yefune is a nickname, but if that's his brother, so Osniel ben Knaz, so the father's name is Knaz. So, how come over here it's Kola ben Chetzron? It's still the wrong name. Fregma vakati ben Knazu dichsiv, you have a pasuk, Vayilkado Osniel ben Knaz, Achi Kolev, the brother of Kolev ben Yefune. So, fine, ben Yefune is a nickname. So the father's real name was Chetzron, but here it says Osniel ben Knaz. And for the Gemara, he was a half brother. Osniel ben Knaz, they had the same mother and they had a different father. So one Osniel's father's name was Knaz. And Kolev ben Chetzron, his father's name was Chetzron, and they had the same mother. Amar Rav, and for the Gemara, he was Churga de Knaz Havre. He was the stepson. He wasn't the son of Knaz. He was the stepson of Knaz. Zog the Gemara, Dekanami, it's very meduik in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk describes him as Kola ben Yefune HaKenizi. Never says Kola ben Knaz. Osniel ben Knaz, he was the son of Knaz. But it says Kola ben Yefune HaKenizi, he was from the Mishpacha of Knaz. He was the stepson of Knaz. He was raised by the stepfather. Shai. Shema Amino, that's the deal from the Pasuk. Since he's called HaKenizi, and never describes Kolev as Kolev ben Kenaz, so that's the Haychacha that he was a stepson. So now the Gemara is discussing that Pasuk. Nochamal, the Pasuk was in Dibra Yomim, Kolev ben Chetzron, Hoylid, he gave birth to a daughter, Azuva. That's his daughter's name, Azuva Isha. And Yirias, so Nochatachter, Yirias. So who's Yirias? Two daughters. The following are the children of which wife? It says he gave birth to a daughter. Holidus Azuva Isha the Es Yerias. The whole pasuk is strange. So the Gemara says Azuva on the top line. Zog the Gemara, that's a nickname. The name really is Miriam. And when it says Kole Ben Yefune Holidus Azuva, the Gemara is going to say it doesn't mean that that was his daughter. That was his wife. So why is it called Kola ben Yefune married Miriam, who was the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu? So why is she called Nanazuva? Lamanik Shmazu, it's a nickname. Shakola Zovua Mitrilosa. She was ugly, she was sickly. No one wanted to marry her. She had all kinds of machlis and she looked awful. Freg Digimar, but it says Hoylid. Freg Digimar, Hoylid. How does the Pasuk say Hoylid? Vahalominsav Havinasavla. We have other psukim. That Kola ben Yefune was married to Miriam. And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the pshat and the pasuk is Kol Anos Eisha L'Shem Shamayim. He didn't marry the girl for her looks. The Gemara says she was awful looking. She was sickly. She was very sick. So he married her L'Shem Shamayim to heal her, to give her medication, and to feed her well, and to bring her back to good health. So Malal Akasa Kili Yelodas, considered as if he gave birth to her. as if he created a new person. When he married her, she was one type of a woman. And then after being married to him for a few years, he brought her back to good health, and it's considered Kili Yolod, as if he gave birth. We have, the Gemara has like that, in Sanhedrin, in the second parak. Kol Malaman is Ben Chaver Torah, Malala Kasav Kili Yolod. If you teach Torah to someone else's son, the Psukim and Chumash, like Moshe Rabbeinu, taught the children of Aaron, so it's considered told us Moshe, Kili Yolod. What kind of a pshat is that? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say there's a din in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes it, Kol Malacha She'evit Oso L'Rabbi, Talmud Oso L'Rabbi. If I buy an Evid Kenaini, let's say, so I own him, so he's mukhiv to do work for me, he's mukhiv to service me. If I ask him to do reasonable work, he has to do the work for me. So the Gemara says a din, Kol Malacha She'evit Oso L'Rabbi, any type of service that the Evid is mukhiv to do for the Odon, Talmud is Oso L'Rabbi. If he has a Rabbi Muvik, the Talmud is mukhiv to do. What's the Tzushtel? Why should that be so? If I buy an Eved, he sold himself as an Eved, or someone else owned him as an Eved legally, legitimately, somebody owned this Eved, and then he sells me the Eved. I own the Eved, so I have a right to ask the Eved to do work for me. Why does the Rebbe have the right to ask the Talmud to do work for him? So Rav Soloveitchik used to give a whole beautiful suggestion. Every couple of years he would say over this whole pshat, that the Gemara has a discussion of Umen Koine Beshvachkli, Ein Umen Koine Beshvachkli. It means like this. I give gold or silver to a jeweler. And the raw material, let's say the gold or the silver, is valued at $500. And I say, make me a beautiful piece of jewelry. And I tell him the whole design, the way I want it to look. And he makes the whole thing. And I agree, I'm going to pay him for this. And the raw piece of material was originally worth $500, the raw gold or silver. Now it's worth $5,000. So who does the extra amount belong to? It's now valued $4,500 more than it was before. So on the one hand, you can say there's a din aroi ashbach. If I have a hakarka shali ishbiach, let's say I own a field and I have trees on the field, and every year the apples grow in the tree. So because the field belongs to me and the trees are mine, so in the mele the apples that grow in the tree belong to me. That's what the Gemara calls in Gemara language aroi ashbach, hakarka shali ishbiach. So you can say over here on the one hand, that since the raw material belongs to me, I gave the $500 of gold or silver to the jeweler, and now something happened that it's worth $5,000. So since it's my original raw material, so the extra $4,500 also belongs to me, like the pears that grow on my trees belong to me. On the other hand, there's an argument that one can say, Umen koine b'shvach kli. We have a klal, whoever creates shvach is koine de shvach. Rav Soloveitchik had this from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he has in his Sefer. The Rambam quotes a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Mishnah says that if fruits or vegetables grow in a field, that's hefker, so there's no chiyuv to be mafrish chumas and maisers. Pears that are hefker, there's no chiyuv to be mafrish. So nonetheless, the Rambam quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Hazarez, they hefker, if a person plants a hefker dika field, that's if the pears grow on their own in a sodish al hefker. You're not chayv in shumas and maises. But if I come to a field and I plant it on purpose and the pears grow, then the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi, you are chayv in shumas and maises. Why is it different? So the standard, one of the standard meforshim on the Yerushalmi, the Pnei Moshe interprets that the reason why you chayv is because when you plant the pears in the field, you kind of the field, yezoicha mena hefker, ayidei ken yechazoke. That constitutes a kinyan chazaka, planting in the field. So you're kind in the field, so it's no longer as dehefker. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik quotes that in his Sefer on the Rambam, and he says he doesn't agree. He thinks the din is not true. That's not kinyan chazaka. That's cheskes habatim. Cheskes habatim means if I claim that this is my field, and you can prove that it used to belong to me, you, and I have no proof at all that it belongs to me. So if I can prove that I was planting it for the last 3 years, so that's cheskes habatim sholoshonim. But what constitutes cheskes habatim is not the same as what koine chazoka is, koine karka. The word chazoka is spelled the same, sounds the same, but it's not the same meaning. It's a totally different meaning. There are different kinds of chazokas. Chazokas, koine karka, is noal godur uparetz. If you put a fence around, if you lock the door, if you break down the fence. But if you plant pears, that's not a kinyi chazoka. So what's pshat in the Yerushalmi hazarez dehefker is chayv in shumas amaisis. Rab Chaim says he can't accept that pshat in the Yerushalmi, that by planting the field, you koine yizechem at a hefker, and it's no longer hefker. So Rav Chaim says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means the field remains hefker, but the peiris belong to me. Aichitimtza. Peres grow on the sada shel hefker. So the sada is hefker, but the peres are mine. Why? So the klal in Yerushalmi is whoever creates shvach owns the shvach. Whoever is mashbiach something owns the shvach. Even though the sada remains hefker, the peres belong to me. So they're my peres. They're the chayv in shumas and maisis. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to suggest. The jeweler took the raw material of gold that's worth $500, and with his pe'ula, with his tools, he made it worth $5,000. So this shvach, that it's now worth $4,500 more than it was worth before, he was mashbiach. So on the one hand, there's an argument that you can say, aroyashbach, whoever owns the original raw material, the $500 of gold, the one who gave it to the jeweler, the extra value should belong to him automatically, like the peris, the grow on the street. On the other hand, there's room to argue the point and say, no, uman koinem is shvachli. He created the shvach, so he should be koinem. So how do we paskin? So most of the Rishonim paskin, ain uman koinem is shvachli. The uman is not koinem. See, the Gemara has this discussion. The Gemara has a discussion. B'toiras what? I gave you this raw material. I gave it to the jeweler. And I said, if you'll make it into this beautiful piece of jewelry that'll be worth $5,000 later on, I'll pay you $500 for doing the job. So Betoris, what do I owe you with the $500? Is it Betoris Chiras Pelim? Because the jewelry belongs fully to me. The original $500 belonged to me. Memele, the extra $4,500 is Aroy Ashbach, Adov Shali Hishbiach, and it's a Chiras Pelim. I have to pay you a Chiras Pelim. So then it's subject to the din of on this week's sedra, la solam pul asacharit, or last week's sedra, where is it? La solam pul asacharit chad boika, you have to pay right away. But on the other hand, the Gemara says, maybe you should say it's not aroy yashbach, maybe you should say uman koine bishvach kli. When I agreed that I'll pay him $500 means he agreed to sell it back to me for $500. Really, the $500 that it was worth originally still belongs to me. The extra $4,500 that it's worth now, over and above what it was worth before, really belongs to the uman, because he created that shvach. But we made up in advance a heskim, we made an agreement that he's going to sell it to me for $500. So then it's b'toras mechira, it's b'toras demei amekach, it's not b'toras schiras pelim. So then the Gemara says it would not be subject to the din of la salam pula sacharit chaberka. That din that you have to pay right away, that's only a special din by schiras pelim. So basically, most of the Rishonim say, machlokes, most of the Rishonim hold that the Gemara comes to the conclusion, ein uman koine bishvakli, that the uman is not koine. The original balabas who gave the $500 of the raw material to the jeweler, to make the fancy piece of jewelry, all the shvach belongs to me because I roy ashbach. So Rav Shach has a whole shtikel Torah on the Rambam. There's a difficult Rambam on a Gemara Maseches Me'ilah. The Gemara has a discussion, how does Hegdish pay the workers? How the umnim shall Hegdish? How do they get paid? Hegdish has money, so when they're going to pay, let's say the people sweep the floors in the Beis HaMikdash, they paint the walls in the Beis HaMikdash, how do you pay them? So you're going to pay them a Hegdish to get money? How can they use Hegdish to get money? It's Me'ilah v'Hegdish. Okay, so the Gemara has a whole discussion. So the Gemara entertains the possibility that since they're working with property of Hegdish and they improve the value, let's say by painting the wall, so uman koine bishvachli, the koine the extra amount, and when Hegdish, the gizbah shel Hegdish, pays them for their services, he's not paying schiras poilim, he's buying that. So the Hegdish is mischalel on the malacha that they did. So the Rambam paskens like that Gemara. So that's a problem. How can the Rambam paskin like that Gemara? That Gemara is against the other psak. We paskin einum and koine b'shvachli. So Blazer Shach has in his sefer on the Rambam, he says, no. That's how the Rabbi used to assume. The real din really is that uman is koine b'shvachli. 99% of the time, it's a yotzim and a kalal, and it gives a whole explanation why. But basically, the rule is that the uman is koine b'shvachli. Whoever creates shvach is really koine that shvach. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. What's called the Rabbi Muvok? There's a din. Pnei Seva tokum v'hadarta pnei zokin. What does it mean? Seva means a person who's over 70. So if I'm younger than 70, he's older than 70, I have to stand up out of respect. If I'm older than 70, I have to stand up out of respect. And we're both older. I'm not older than 70. Not yet. So if we're both older than 70, I'm not mukhif to stand up out of respect for him. But whoever is below 70 has to stand up out of respect for the Seva. The two girsas in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, whether ben shishim l'seva, ben shivim l'seva. So we usually assume the more correct girsa we assume is ben shivim l'seva. So you're mukhif to stand up out of respect for a person who's over 70. Then the pasuk again is over. Hadarta penei zokin. Tavos is a zokin. You just said a seva. Seva is over 70. So the Gemara says, Zelkin is Eshikon HaChachma, Talmud Chacham. Even if he's only 20, even if he's younger than you, you have to stand up if he's a Talmud Chacham. So that's a din of Kvoy Talmud Chacham. Vohadarta means covered. Hidur means covered. Then there's another din of Moira. Es Hashem Al Kechatira. Es is always Marba something. So the Gemara quotes, there was a Tana Shimon who I'm certainly used to darsh in every Es. Vereishis Baralakim. Es Hashemayim. Es Arts. Every time he says Es. He darsh and darsh and darsh until he came to this Pasuk. It's in Dvarim, no? Es Hashem El Kechatira. What can you darshan Es Hashem El Kechatira? There are no partners. There's only one God in heaven above. So how can you darshan Es, the Rabban Shalom, he doesn't have any members of the board. So this Tana gave up. He said he backed out, and he told the Talmidim we should back out, throw all the notes in Shemus, or throw it in the garbage, whatever. All the drushas and all the yesen are not correct. Al Shabbat Rabbi Kiva Valim, and Rabbi Kiva said no. Es Hashem El Kechatira, the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim, if it's a rabbi muvok, if it's Tama, Tamet Chacham, or it's my Rebbe, but not my rabbi muvok. I learned by this Rebbe, let's say, in first grade, second grade, third grade, and he taught me a lot. He taught me Aleph Beis, and taught me Chumash, and taught me Mishnayos. But now I know how to learn equally to him or better than him. So that's called Rabbi She'ena Muvok. But the Rabbi Muvok means the Rebbe, She'rov Chachmasa Himenu, he had such an influence on me, he's the one who made me into a Torah personality, to use Rabbi Soloveitchik's Lashonis. Rabbi Muvok has a din of Moira Rabbach Kimara Shemaim. Kovat Talmid HaChachamim is Tama Tama Chacham, a Rabbi She'ena Muvok. And if it's Rabbi Muvok, She'rov Chachmasa Himenu, so then it's a din of Moira Talmid HaChachamim. So that's what the Gemara says, Kol Malacha She'evid Oso the Rabbi Talmud Oso the Rabbi. Why? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, because Uman Koine B'Shvach Kli. What does it mean, Rov Chachmasa Himenu? Means, I know, Rav Soloveitchik gave the Moshe, I know 1,000 dinim, and 501 dinim this Rebbe taught me. That's called Rov Chachmas Amenah, 51%. He taught me the Rov of all the Torah that I know. He didn't think that that was correct. He thought that Rov Chachmas Amenah doesn't mean to be taken literally 51% of the Torah. He thought that it meant the one who made me into a Torah personality. He changed me. I used to be a plain person, and he's the one who wound me up, who made me into a different kind of a person. So in a certain sense, that's Uman Koine B'Shvachli. He created Shvach over here. So even though we paskin, Ein Uman Koine B'Shvachli, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that's an exception to the rule. That's what Rav Lezer Shach writes in his Sefer also. 99% of the time we paskin, Uman is not Koine B'Shvachli. So that's for a specific reason. We have a time why. Umdin is that the guy doesn't want. But when you don't have the umdinis, then the basic din does apply. Umin is kind of bishvakli. So the Rebbe owns the Talmud. The Rebbe who's a Rebbe Muvok owns a share. He owns a bailus in the Talmud of whom he was the Rebbe Muvok, like the umin kind of bishvakli. So kol malacha she'eved also the rabbi, Talmud also the rabbi. Whatever services the Eved is obligated to serve the master because he owns him. The Eldon owns the Eved Kanaini. So the Talmud is owned by his Rebbe. That was the pshat that he had. So that's what the Gemara has such a lashon. Kal melamed as ben chaver Torah, malav akasa kili yolad, as if you created the person. Here, the Gemara is talking about Kaleb ben Yefuna married Moshe Rabbeinu's sister Miriam. She was not good looking. The Gemara calls her, the Gemara says the psukim refer to her as Azuvo. All the boys no one wanted to date her. She was ugly. She was sickly. No one wanted to marry her. He married her l'shem shamayim, not for her looks, and he gave her food and he gave her medication until he got her to be very good looking. The Gemara is going to say she got very good looking. So as if he created the whole different person, as if she was a different person afterwards. So that's what the Gemara says: malal kasuv kili yalad, as if he had created this person, as if he had given birth to her. That's why the pasuk says hoilid es hazuva. He took such care of his wife, whose nickname was Azuva, whose true name was Miriam. And they all called her Azuva because no one wanted to marry her. So that's considered Ki'ilu Yolodo, Hoylid. Then the Gemara text the next one, Ves Yirias. It sounds like Kolev gave birth to Azuva, Ves Yirias, another child. So the Gemara says, no, Yirias is a nickname. The Gemara does this on a lot of Psukim Medivra Yomim. You have a whole list of names. The Gemara says it's all the same person, and they're all adjectives of the same individual. So the Gemara says over here, Azuba is a nickname for Miriam, and Yirias is not another daughter. Azuba wasn't a daughter either. It was the wife. Yirias means, you looked at her face, she had no color in her face. She was like white curtains. Yirias, her face looked awful. It was like white sheets. Then the pasuk continues, Ve'elu Baneha, and it doesn't mean that these were his daughters. It means this was his wife, and he took such care of her, he changed her, he made her so good looking, so healthy. So that's Kila Yolada. Ve'elu Baneha does mean these are his children. Ve'elu Baneha, the Gemara says, Atikr Baneha, Ela Boneha. This is the way he built her up. Through his Yirah Shemaim and his Dikduk and Shmiras HaMitzvahs, that's why he was Zoyche, that his wife had a refuah. Miriam got better and got better looking. So what are the Milas? The next three are going to be descriptions of what he did, what Kaleb ben Yefunah did. So it says, Ve'ela Boneo, and the following are the Milas Tevis of the Midas of Kaleb ben Yefunah that had an effect on his wife, that he built her up. Yosha v'sheva v'ardon. What does that mean? Yosha v'sheva v'ardon. So it says, Yoshar sheyisha resatzmai. He held himself strong and straight, that he shouldn't fall in with the meraglim, Rashi says. Yisha resatzmo, milita says toas hameraglim. He had to be mechazik himself. Like it says, Kolev ben Yefunah, the Gemara says, went to the Moras HaMachpelah to be mispal. He went to Hebron, the Gemara, he went to be mispal. He shouldn't fall in. The pressure was so great to go along with the others. And Shevev, what's the nickname? Shevev is also not a name of one of the children of Kaleb ben Yefunah. It's an adjective, a description of Kaleb. Sheshivev es Yitzra, again, he had to break the normal desire on his part would have been to go along with the other Meraglim. What is going to, Reis Sachan is going to fight with everybody. The other 10 he knew were going to give a negative report. So the easiest way for him would have been to go along with them. So he had to be Shevev es Yitzra. He had to rebel against this Yetzirah to go along with the others. And to tell the truth about Eretz Yisrael. And Ardon is also a nickname, Sheridas Yitzro, the same thing. Sheridas Yitzro. He controlled his Yetzirah to lead an easier form of life by going along with the Braglin. He didn't go along. That's a Rashi. Shoyim Mesiso, Yetzirah was trying to convince him, Litos Imam, to go along with the Braglin. Why do you have to stand out like a Meshugana? And the two had tremendous courage, Kalev and Yeshua, and tremendous courage to fight against the others. So that's the first suggestion. The Gemara says, on Ardon. Ardon is vital the same. Sheridas Yitzro. The Ika, the Amr, others say, no, that's the same thing. Shevab, Sheshivav is Yitzro. He rebelled against his Yitzro. So one is going to say, Ridas Yitzro. He controlled his Yitzro, the same thing as Shevav. So Ika, the Amr, others say, no. Because he was very handsome. She was ugly. He married Miriam, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. She looked pale, she looked sickly, she looked awful. No one wanted to even take her out. But he was very handsome. Ika d'Yarmi, why is he called Ardon? Al shahoyu panov, that's how they corrected on Ansar, Rabbi Yankov Emna. Al shahoyu panov, his facial features were dumb and leveret. He was like rosy-cheeked. This handsome, good-looking guy, called the Ben Yefunah, married this ugly girl, who was the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he married her l'shem shemaim in order to cure her, to help her. Then the pasuk there in Dira Yom continues. Ula Ashchur Avi Takoa, there was a person by the name of Ashchur, the father of Takoa, had two wives. Hayushtei Noshim. Who were the two wives? Chela v'Nara. Zog the Gemara. That pasuk also, everything is a nickname. Ashchur is not another person. That's another nickname for Kolev. Ashchur is a Kaleb ben Yefunah. The Lama Nikrash Moi Ashchur is a nickname. Why Shehushchur Upana B'Tainias? He was fasting Taneisim. They were only traveling there 40 days in Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim say he was fasting. What did he fast 40 days Taneisim? Apparently, a few days he was fasting Taneisim that he should be able to control himself not to fall in with the Meraglim. The pressure was so great. So that's a nickname. Shehushchur Upana B'Tainias. Then it says, Avi Takoa. He was the father of Takoa. That's what it sounds like. Gemara says, no, he wasn't the father of Takoa. Avi means Shenas Aloka of. He acted towards his wife as if he had been her father. Usually a parent, when a parent has a child who's sickly, so the parent takes care of the child. So he married Miriam. Azuva, and he took care of her like a father would be, like a parent. Usually by us we say the mother takes care, father, the mother, whatever, the parents take care of the child to help them out. So he took care of his wife Miriam, and Tekoa is back again to his heroic effort. He was such a Yirei Shamayim, he didn't fall in with the Meraglim. Then the Pasuk continues. This whole Pasuk is not to be taken literally. Ashkur Rabbi Tekoa means Kol ben Yefune, who took good care of his wife and he didn't fall in with the Meraglim. Hoyu Shtei Noshim, the simple Pshat, he was married to two wives. And Gemara says, not true. He only had one wife. He only had one wife. The one wife that he had was like two women. When he married her, she was not good looking, she was sickly, and after he was married to her for a few years, he took such good care of her, she became like a totally different woman. What does it mean? Nasa Miriam kishtei noshim. His one and only wife, Miriam, was like two different women. Chel of Anaira. Not these, and they're not the two names of the two different wives. It's the descriptions, the adjectives of the wife. Chelo, lo chel of Anaira havoi. They're not two women and not two different names. Ela betchila chelo. Originally, when he married her, she was very sickly. Maloshon chayli. Vilebisof Naira. Later on, she became so good looking, like a young girl. Naira is a girl who's only 12 years old. And he probably married her when she, by the time he treated her and she got better, she was already older. But her skin was so smooth and she had rosy cheeks and so on. She didn't have any wrinkles on her forehead. Whatever, she was so good looking after he took good care of her that she looked like a Naira. Her skin was like a young Naira. Then the Pasuk says that she had children. Ubnei Chela, and the children of this wife Chela, Tzoras v'Tzorah v'Yesnan. So the Gemara says, Vaiter. It doesn't mean that these are the names of the children. These are all adjectives, these are descriptions of the wife. Ubnei Chela, that's Miriam. Tzoras, Shenasit Tzorah l'chaveira seho. She became so good looking that she was competition for the other women. The women always like to dress up with cosmetics and with clothing and with jewelry that they should outdo the other ones. So she became so good looking. Originally, no one wanted to look at her. She was Azuva. The boys didn't want to take her out. And after the husband took such good care of her, she became so good looking. She was competition for all the other women in the community. She was a Tzor l'chaver aseho. Why do we call her Tzohar? Tzor is also not the name of her children. Tzor means brightness, Tzoharayim. Her face was so bright after she got healthier, it was like the sun in the middle of the day. Such a bright wife. And what is Esnan? She was so good looking that when other married men would see her, they would have a desire. They wouldn't have a desire for her, they would have a desire to be with their own wives. They would be prepared to pay money to their wives that they should be with them. They had such a desire to be with a woman. Esnan. She's called an Esnan. Why? She'll call her Raya Oysa. Any married man who would see Miriam after she got healthier and her husband took care of her, Malach Esnan Liishto, he would insist that he wants to be with his wife because he would be so excited by seeing this good looking wife.
Esnan is the same word as Esnan
Zayn. Yeah. Yeah. No, like Esnan means a matana. To pay money. Esnan Zayn means to pay money to have Znus. Here it's an Esnan, he wants to pay his own wife to live with his own wife. Because she was so good looking, so the other husbands would see this good looking wife, so they would fall in love again with their own wives. They would want to be with their own wives. How do we get involved in the whole discussion? How do we get involved in all of this? Because the Mishnah would say that Min HaShamayim, they treat people, B'mido Shadamodin, that was the Mishnah Chesam Beis. B'mido Shadamodin, Bo Modin Lo. Everything is Mido Kenegan Mido. So the Mishnah spoke about Miriam Hemtina La Moshe Shoa Achas, when they put Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket, in the suf, she waited a while, Shoa Achas, a short period of time. Lefichach, therefore, years later, when they were traveling in the Midbar, Miriam became a Tzaraas, so Klal Yisrael waited 7 days. And Sakva Lo Yisrael Zayn Yamin Bamidbar Shenemar, it says, "V'ham lo inasa ad hayosad Miriam." That was the Mishnah on Tesalon Bay. So the Gemara was giving all the Agadata about Miriam. The Gemara says that the Gemara had quoted the Pesukim. We were in the middle of all of that. The Gemara quoted Pesukim from Shmos, from Parashat Shmos, that Paro Melech Mitzrayim gave instructions to the Mialdas or Ivrios, the Shifrim Pua, that they should kill the Jewish boys. Kalabein Hayila and Hayorat Hashlichu. Chol Abbas Techayun. So the Gemara left off in the middle of that whole discussion. Chol Abbein Hayila, they should kill the boys, but Chol Abbas Techayun. So the Gemara goes back to that theme again, because we left off in the middle. Vaitzav Para L'chol Amo. Vaitzav Para L'chol Amo. So the Gemara says what it sounds like is, even the Mitzrayim have to kill Abbein Hayila at Hayorat HaShulchu. Not that he told all the Goyim, if there's a Jewish baby, if there's a boy born to the Jewish people, they should kill the Jewish babies. He insisted that all the baby boys have to be killed that day. What if he wanted?
Abbein Hayila, it says specifically all male children.
So
Jewish.
I would have said, if not for this Gemara, I would have said, the Mitzrayim should kill any Jewish baby boy that's born. So the Gemara says, no. Is to be taken literally. Kol Abbein Hayilid, even by the non-Jews. Right. That's how the Gemara has the tradition. Nam Rab Yes Rab Chanina Afalama Gozar. His gzera was Veitzapar. His instructions were that even the non-Jewish baby boys that are born that day have to be killed. What kind of mishigas is that? So the Gemara is going to explain that they had astrologers who knew half the story, but they didn't know the whole story. So the Chose Akachovim, they had the they figured out, based on their astrology, that a Moshiach is going to be born, but they don't know whether someone is going to save the Jewish people is going to be born today or this season. They don't know whether it's going to be born by the Jews or born by the Egyptians. So Parah said, whoever it's going to be, we're going to bump them off. So that's why he instructed, Kol Abbein Hayilot, even the Egyptian boys should be killed at that time. That's what I was going to explain further. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Chanina, the same Tana, explains it a little better. Sholosh Gezeiros Gozar, there were three stages in the Gezeira. B'tchila, originally he said, in Bein Hu Bahamit and Oso, in Basi Vochayo. So originally he gave the instructions only to the Mialdos or Ivriyos. Then V'Libisof, Libisof, he realized that they're not listening to him. So he told all of the people, he told the police, and he told the Shomrim that you can't trust the Mialdos of Ivrius, so everyone should be Dachrei. Lebesov, Kol Abbein Hayilad, Hayora, Tashlichu. He gave instructions, kill the firstborn Jewish, kill all the Jewish boys. Don't kill the Jewish girls, only kill the Jewish boys. The first Gzera was only, the Gzera Rishayna was to the Mialdos of Ivrius. The second Gzera, V'achakach, shouldn't say Lebesov. Besov means ultimately, that's the third Gzera. It should say Lebesov, it has. But the second time it has on the side, more correct, that's the Girsan and Yankif in the Yalkut Shemayni, it says, V'chakach, he had to change the Gzera, and Rashi explains, he instructed the Shomrim, he instructed the police, the Mialdas are not listening to me, say, have everyone supervise. Whenever a Jewish boy is born, kill him. V'lebesov, and the third stage in the Gzera was, Afalama Gozar, the Gemara is going to explain why. Because the Chose Akachavim told them, they see through their astrology that Moshiach is going to be born, but they don't know whether it's going to be from among the Jews and among the Mitzrayim. So he wanted to avoid the whole thing. Then the Gemara discusses the Psukim. It says, Vayelech ish mipeis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. The Mefarsh Manchumish discussed the Pasuk. That means Amram went and he married Yocheved, and they had the children. Vayelachish mebeis Levi. So the Ramban Achumish quotes the Ibn Ezra on that part. What do you mean Vayelachish? Where did he go from and where did he go to? Vayelachish mebeis Levi. Ikach has bas Levi. He married bas Levi. What kind of a lashon Vayelach? Where did he go? So the Ibn Ezra says they must have lived in two different parts of town. So when he took her out on a date, he had to travel to the other side of town in order to meet her. So the Ramban is not happy about that. He doesn't think that that's the pshat. It's interesting. Vayelech, so the Gemara wants to know, Lehechon Holach, where did he go? The Gemara is asking that question, where did he go? That's the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban HaChumash work on that. They don't quote the Gemara. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Vayelech, where did he go? So the Gemara, Shahalach ba'atzaz bito, he listened to the advice of his daughter Miriam. What happened? So the Gemara spells out the whole story. Tana, we have a brisa that has the whole story. Amram was the Godel Hador Hoyo, he was very influential. Rashi says, Godel Hador doesn't necessarily mean the greatest Talmid Chacham in the generation. There's a famous Gemara in Psochim that everybody points out. The Gemara says, in the middle of Psochim, the person, you should sell all of your possessions, if need be, in order to be able to marry a Bas Talmid Chacham. If Lamotza Bas Talmid Chacham, if that's not available, you should marry Bas Gedoli Hador. What kind of a lashon is that? So it means Gedali Adar means political political leaders. And if you don't have a political a leader of the Jewish community, the president of the shul, that's called Gedali Adar. Tam Chacham is the rabbi. Gedali Adar the political. If not, the next is Gaboyim, the Gaboy Tzedakah, and so on. But in the Gemara's lashon, Gedali Adar doesn't always mean the greatest Talmid Chacham. Sometimes it means the manhikim, the political leaders of the Jewish people. So that's what Rashi says over here. Amram Gedali Adar haya. So Rashi does not translate that he was the, one of the Gedali Hador in learning. Rashi just says that he was very influential, and whatever he would recommend, people would follow him. That's the Hemshech of the story. The Rambam maybe understood Gedali Hador literally, because the Rambam writes the whole Hishtalshelus of the development of the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Rambam writes, originally the Baruch Shalom gave 6 mitzvahs to Adam Arishim. And then came after the Mabul. So until the Mabul, they weren't permitted to eat flesh. They had to be vegetarians. After the Mabul, they were allowed to eat flesh. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the 7th mitzvah of Eiv Menachai. They're permitted to eat flesh, not allowed to eat Eiv Menachai. And the Rambam says, this way the whole world was going. That's why it's called 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Because Adam Rishon was only given 6. Noach was given the 7th. From that time on, it's called 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, the very end of the Yarech Hazot. Then the Rambam says, this way the world was going for 10 generations, from Noach till Avram Avinu was 10 generations. Then Avram Avinu was given the added mitzvah Bris Milah, and he instituted the Shachris. Then Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to be Mafrish Maisris, because the Pasuk says he was here for Shmaisis, and he instituted Minchan. And Yaakov Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Gidon Noshe, and he instituted Mayrav. That's the Rambam is quoting from my Bereishis Rabbah. Then he says, that's the whole Yiddishkeit was going on till the days of Amram. And Amram in Mitzrayim was a Novi, and he was given several additional mitzvahs. Who state that he was a Novi? And got, I don't know, they don't know. So maybe he got it from this Gemara, he was the Gadol Hador. Maybe the Rambam understood Gadol Hador not like Rashi, that he was very influential. Maybe Gadol Hador means in learning, in Torah, I don't know. Then the Rambam says, then Moshe Rabbeinu was given a few mitzvahs in Mitzrayim regarding Chodesh Elachem and Korban Pesach and Tefillin a little bit. And then in Mora we were given Sham Sam Lachok and Mishpat V'Sham Niso. And then at Har Sinai we were given almost all the 613 mitzvahs. Some of them were not given till later. Pesach Sheni was clearly not known till later. Some of the laws of Yerusha, the laws of the Mekoshish, the laws of the Megadev, some of the details were clearly not given at Har Sinai. That's what the Ramban writes in the introduction to his commentary on Chumash. That even though the Chazal have a comment, all the 630 mitzvahs follow the same part, the same diktukim, everything from A to Z was given to Hasina. He says, not exactly so. He writes, you see in the Chumash that Pesach Sheni Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and something about Benoist Tzlovchot, something in Hilchus Yerusha he didn't know, and the Mekoshish and the Megadev he didn't know. He had to ask Shilas. So apparently not everything was given. Almost everything was given. So the Gemara says that this Amram was from the Gedali Hador. Rashi translates he was very influential, and whatever he would do, the people would follow. Kivan shegozer para harosh kol abin hayila hayor tashlichu. When Para made the gzera to have to kill all the Jewish boys, Omar. So Amram decided lashav anu amelim. What are we having? What are we giving birth to children? Para is going to have more Jewish babies to kill. So he said he's going to divorce his wife. I'm going to be giving Shes Ishtoi. Like the Gemara says, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Balabatim wanted to recommend that we should be Geyser. The Romans had killed so many Jews, so they had an einfall. We shouldn't marry and we shouldn't have any children. We're just having more children for the Goyim to kill. What's the Chochma? And then the Chachamim said, it's not a smart idea. It's a Gzer Shen Rabba Tzibi Chalam Lamabah. So you don't make a Gzer if you know in advance that people are just not going to live up to it. So here, this was the same chachma that Amram had. Omad begirish his ishta, he divorced his wife in public. Omad means he did it in public, and he was so influential, everybody followed him. Omdu kulu begirish his nishasem. He was from the Gedali Hador, means he was one of the political leaders, so they all followed. Omar Labita, so his daughter Miriam was a little child. She was just a few years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't born yet. Omar Labita, so she said, you're not fair, Abba. Your gzeira is worse than para. Para gozer el alascharim. Your gozer, we shouldn't have any children at all. She para la gozer el alascharim at the gzarat alascharim al anakevis. If everyone's going to get divorced, they won't have any children at all. Para la gozer el aboy la mazer. If they'll give birth to a baby boy, so they're going to kill a baby. But the baby will have a tchias ameisim sometime in the future, and the baby will have a neshama, and it'll be an oilam abo. If everyone is going to get divorced, they're not going to have any children at all. So you're going to be missing all these neshamas. There won't be a baby who was killed to have a tchias ameisim. There won't be an oilam haba. There won't be anything. So your gzeira is worse. And paro harosha safik miskayem is gzeira rasha safik eni miskayem. They may not all listen to paro. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that bas paro, his own daughter, didn't listen to her father's instruction when she saw the basket with the baby crying. So she wanted to save the baby. So her mesharsa said, "You're in violation of your father's gzeira. If the king's daughter is not going to listen, so no one else is going to listen either." So she said, "Don't give me a hard time." So she saved Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what Miriam tainted to her father as a little baby. Miriam tainted to the father, "Gzeiras paro is a sofik, he's a boss of a dom. Sofik miskayem is gzeiras, sofik enim miskayem. It may not be observed. Atot tzadik, you, my father, Amram, you're a tzadik. Bevadei shzigiras chem miskayem. When you make gzeira, it will be followed." Shenema v'tigzera is oimer v'yokem loch. The Gemara says, "Tzadikem agoizev akadosh baruch hu mikayim." A tzadik makes a gzeira, he wants something to come about in this world, so akadosh baruch hu is going to follow through to see to it that what the tzadik wants will take place. So you are a tzadik, and you don't want anyone to be married, and no one should have any children. So the Baruch Hashem is probably going to listen to you. That's not a smart thing to do. So the pasuk says, "Vayelachish meveis levi." Ikachet bas levi. Vayelach means halach batzas bito. He listened to the recommendation of his little daughter. How old was she? 2 years old? 3 years old? She was a little baby, Miriam. He listened, huh? 5 years old. She was 5 years old. She was 4 and a half, 5. Okay, so that's what it means. Vayelachish meveis levi. Shehalach batzas bito. Amar behechzer esishtoi. So, in public, he said, "I made a mistake." He took back his wife. Everybody married their wives again. Yeah, but the question is, the pasuk doesn't sound like that. Like a brand new wife. Like a brand new wife. So what do you mean? This was the old wife that he was married to from before, and he remarried his old wife, Frank Digmara. The story.
How old is Yochanan now? Very old.
Very old.
Has she never had any children before Miriam?
That's what it sounds like. She only had three children. Yes, yes.
130.
That's the Gemara makes a calculation. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and 40 years in the Midbar, he lived to 120, and they were only Mitzrayim 210 years. So 210 years minus 80, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, is 130. And she was born, the Gemara has a tradition, she was born right after they arrived in Mitzrayim. So she was 130 years old, a big nest. She gave birth to a baby at the age of 130. So the Gemara says, how does it, the whole story that you said, you're filling in the missing story, it doesn't seem in the Chumash like that. It should say he remarried his wife. It shouldn't say he married his wife. And for the Gemara, he made such a chasana, he made such a simcha, because he wanted to back out from the mistake that he made. He made a mistake, he divorced his wife. And everybody divorced their wives, so now he's just going to have a private wedding. The second wedding, usually a private wedding, you don't invite 200 people, so no one's going to realize that he remarried his wife. They made a big hullabaloo of a chasana. Everybody in the community should realize that he's admitting that he made a mistake and he's remarrying his wife, that they should all remarry their wives. He made a big chasana like for a young girl, like the first time you get married. Shiva Bapiryan, he put on a fancy chair, the kalas chair, and the children were dancing in front of the parents at the parents' wedding. I remember I attended a wedding once in Tannersville. They have a lot of Russians come there. So they have a Russian Talmud Chacham who gets them all to be medaktik and mitzvah. So there was a couple had a few children. They never had Siddur Kiddushin in Europe. So he got them to the point that they agreed they're going to have a chasana. So he made tenoyim. They were already married. He made tenoyim every single meeting. He made tenoyim and he made the whole works. And the children were dancing at the parents' wedding. Aaron and Miriam, Meraktim Lefaneho, the children were dancing at the mother's wedding, and the Malachi Hasharis were also present, and they commented, "Hey, my bonim smecha." Then the Gemara says, but the pasuk doesn't sound like that. Vayikach is bas Levi. Sounds like he married a young girl, Levi's daughter. What do you mean a young girl? She's 130 years old. She's so old already. Frag the Gemara is bas Levi. Efshe bas meir shlosh mishana habya v'korvila bas. What kind of a lashon is that? How do you come off to make such a statement? She's 130. Because we have a tradition from the Gemara Yesh Nechlan, Dam Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Zu Yocheved, Shehairosa Baderech, her mother became pregnant with her while they were traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, but Leidasa Benachem, she was only born after they arrived in Mitzrayim. What do you mean Zu Yocheved? What's Zu Yocheved? The Pasuk says, how many children Yaakov Avinu had, and it all adds up to 70. So the Gemara says, if you add them all up, it only adds up to 69. So who was the extra one? So the Gemara says, the extra one, Zu Yocheved, that she was, her mother was pregnant with her when they were traveling on the road, when they entered Mitzrayim. Yeah, and then she was born. Bein HaChomis means after they arrived in Mitzrayim. Shenema. Asha Yolda also the Levi Mitzrayim. The implication is, Leidasim in Mitzrayim, but Ein HaRosim in Mitzrayim. The mother was already pregnant with Yocheved before they entered Mitzrayim. So the question is, it says, Veikach is Bas Levi. How do you say Bas Levi? She sounds like he married a young girl. And we just proved she was 130 years old. And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bas Vida, Shenol de Bosimon in Iris. A miracle occurred. The whole thing was a miracle that occurred. She gave birth to a baby, age of 130. A miracle occurred, and she looked like a young girl. Yocheved, she looked like a young girl. Huh? Like Sarah, yeah. Then the pasuk says that after he remarried his wife, Atar Ho'isha, she became pregnant, Vateled Bein. So the Gemara is going to say later, it says, the mother was hiding, Yocheved was hiding her son, Moshe Abenu, for the first 3 months. And after 3 months, she can no longer hide the baby. Where's that Gemara? I forgot already where it is. It's coming up soon. The pasuk says, "Oh, here it's the next line." Vatitzpenehu shlosha yirochim. She hid him. How did she succeed in hiding the baby for 3 months? So the Gemara says the Mitzrim kept the record of when everybody got married. They assumed that no one's getting married pregnant. Today you can't make such an assumption. But the Mitzrim were nice people apparently, so they assumed maybe the Jewish people, maybe the Mitzrim were pregnant. The Jewish people, it can't be. A Jewish girl is going to marry to a Jewish boy, it can't be that the woman is pregnant. So she can't give birth to a baby until 9 months go by. So the truth of the matter was, she was already pregnant from before. Because they had been married from before. She already had two babies from her husband Amram. She already had Miriam and Aharon. So when he divorced his wife, she was already pregnant. And then the daughter argued with the father, what kind of crazy mishigas is that? Well, he's divorcing, so he married back his wife. So when he remarried his wife, she was already pregnant 3 months. So the Mitzrayim figured she can't have a baby until 9 months go by. Jewish people are not going to get married when they're pregnant. So they waited 9 months to see. So the first 3 months, so the baby was born after 6 months because she was already pregnant 3 months from before. So the first 3 months she could hide out the baby, the police were not looking. The police didn't begin to look until 9 months. They had their records 9 months after their after they got married.
Huh?
Brief. Yeah, for a very short period of time. That's how the Gemara is presenting the whole story.
Rabbi Amram gave her a get.
However, either he gave her a get or there was no need for a get. By non-Jews, the Gemara says that there's no institution of get. So the Yerushalmi has two opinions. So what is there? So one opinion is like the Pope, his machmer, that you can't get divorced. He's stuck for life. He married the woman, so they're both stuck for life. He can marry another wife, but the marriage cannot be dissolved. And the Raman Paskins Lahaka, like the other opinion in the Yerushalmi, that they can get divorced. There's no need for a document, there's no need for a written get. Either he or she can initiate the divorce, and they just say goodbye and good luck, nice knowing you, and have a good life, and v'nai maramin. And that's the end of the marriage. So that's how the Rambam writes. So maybe they had the din like b'nei nech, maybe they didn't need a get, maybe they did need a get, very unclear. When all the dinim were given. That's the Rambam throws you off. The Rambam says, Amram was given some of the dinim in Mitzrayim. Which of the dinim was he given? The Rambam doesn't know himself, he just says he was given miktsas mitzvahs. So the Gemara asked, the story in the Pasuk is not true. According to the historical tradition that we have, that the reason why Vititzbnei was Shloshi Yerochim, she was able to hide out Moshe Rabbeinu the baby for 3 months, because the Egyptians didn't come searching the homes until after 9 months after the marriage. And she was already pregnant for 3 months. So that's why she had 3 months grace period. So how does the Pasuk misrepresent? It says, it's not true. Vatar Hoisha was way before. When he remarried her, she was already pregnant 3 months. When the first time they were married.
Why can't we say she gave birth in the 7th month?
I don't know. The Gemara assumes that it was a 9-month pregnancy. That's how the Gemara is assuming, that it was a regular 9-month pregnancy. So the Gemara is bothered with the kasha. Vatar Hoisha Vatelet Bein. Freg the Gemara. But we know from the later passage in the Gemara, she was already pregnant 3 months from before. So why does the Pasuk write incorrectly, she became pregnant, she gave birth to the baby? And for the Gemara, that's not what it means. The Pasuk says, Vatar, Vatelein, that's a hekesh. Whenever you have two dinim written in the Pasuk next to each other, that's a hekesh. Here you don't have two dinim, you have two parts of a story. Vatar, she became pregnant, Vatelein. So when a girl becomes pregnant, she doesn't have any pain, she doesn't feel. When a woman gives birth to a baby, she has a lot of pain. So the Pasuk really means to say, Vatelet Hoisha. She was married 6 months and she gave birth to a 9-month baby. So Vatelet should be, there should be Tzar Leda. There should be Tzar Leda. So the Pasuk describes Vatar Vatelet, just like none of the women have Tzar when they become pregnant. They don't even realize it. So this Tzadekis, Yocheved, didn't even have any pain at all. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he just jumped out and shined. There was no tzar of leidim. A hekesh. The Pasuk writes, Vatar Vatele, to make a hekesh. Rabbi Yehuda Bezvina, Makish leidosa lohoirosa, it's a hekesh. Mahoirosa shaloi betzar, just like when a woman becomes pregnant, there's no pain, they don't feel any pain. Af leidosa shaloi betzar, that was unusual. She didn't feel any pain. Why is that? Mikan, from this Pasuk we derive this principle, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed Chava, Be'etzel Tel Ibanim, that the curse was, that Baruch Hashem gave a psak, as if he gave a gmar din, as if he wrote on a piece of paper, like he go for a din Torah, and then the Bezin writes the psak, so that's called a piska. A piska is a document where you have a psak din. Psak din is with a samach, and piska is a piece of paper. So the Gemara calls it a piska. The Baruch Hashem's psak din that he gave to Chava.
Right,
petek, same thing. So the Baruch Shalom gave a psak din to Chava, be'etzev tel libanim. All of the women, you and all of the women in the future, are going to suffer when they give birth to women, when they give birth to babies. So mikan, from this pasuk you see, the nashim tzidkois lahoyu b'pisku shel Chava. If the woman is a tzadekish, she may not necessarily be included. There are many women who are tzadkanias that do suffer. But the Gemara says, many women who are tzadkanias will not suffer, will not necessarily suffer, because of the psak din that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave against Chava. Then the Gemara is continuing to comment on the psukim. When the baby was born, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, she saw he was a good baby. Vatera osi ki tofu. What do you mean ki tofu? Every mother thinks her baby is wonderful. I mean he didn't cry. It says he was crying. He was crying. So what does it mean he was a good baby? So one opinion is Tanya Rameh Rameh Tov Shmo. They gave him a Yiddish name, Tov. We call him Moshe, that's his Goyish name. Bas Para called him Kimin Amayim Mishisiu. She changed his name later. But when he was born, what was the name that they gave him by the Bris? But when they gave him a Yiddish name, Tov. Rabbi Yudai Metuvi Yashmo. Ki Tovu, not, I don't know, what's the difference? There must be a big difference, I don't know. Not his name was Tov. That's not a name. Tuvia is a Yiddish name. So they gave him a name, Tuvia. And Nechem Yama Hogun Lenevius. Not Kitofu. The mother saw that she saw something about this baby she thinks is right to develop into becoming a Navi. And Acher Mamrim, another Tana has a different tradition. Kitofu means it was Nolad Mahol. When he was born, he didn't need any bris milah. He didn't have any orla covering over his Eva Ha'erva. That's, I think I must have mentioned it. Rab Chaim Volozhiner passed away, and one of the big rabbonim of the generation, of David Narvardike, who wrote his sefer Galya Masechta. I must have mentioned, we learned Erevin. The Gemara says, When Shaul HaMelech gave a shir, he was not so successful. When David HaMelech gave a shir, he was very successful. The Gemara says, how come? He was successful in giving a shir. Shaul was not successful in giving a shir. What was the difference? The Gemara says, because they had a different derech alima. Because David HaMelech was Galya Masechta. What do you mean Galya Masechta? Huh? Okay, something like that. So they're different Rishonim. Rashi and the others, some say, he gave Mar Mekoymus in advance. He told them in advance what the topic is going to be. So everybody prepared so they could shoot kashas at him. And Shaul HaMelech didn't tell him in advance, so they couldn't prepare. So they couldn't ask him any kashas. So Mahatman gave him with the shir without any blogs, without any comments. So the shir without any comments was a weaker shir. Whatever. Or Galya Masechta means he gave a clearer explanation. Whatever Galya Masechta means over there. So there was a gadol, a big Talmid Chacham, who was a Rav in Navardik, and his name is Rav David on Navardik, and he wrote a sefer that's called Galya Masechta. He thought that his chidushim are out of this world. He writes in his introduction, when I go to the Olam HaEmes, the Rambam is going to give me a Yashikoyach. I'm the only one who gave the Emes a pshat in a certain Rambam in Hilchus Mechira. About Oinoa, he says, no one else knew the pshat, and he thinks that his pshat is gevaldik. Okay. So he was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Baloshiner. And he once had an asik with Rav Chaim Volozhin. He was very upset. He thought Rav Chaim Volozhin had done something improper. And then later on he realized that Rav Chaim Volozhin was right and he was wrong, and he became a very big supporter of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So when he passed away, this Rav Dovid Arika delivered a hesped, and he printed the hesped in the sefer. The first half of the sefer is halacha, and the second half of the sefer is hespedim and drushes. So he has the hesped that he delivered on the occasion of the p'tira of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So he starts off with a kasha. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu Memalish and Seim Shel Tzadikim Miyom Liyom, as it says in Chumash, Es Mispa Yamecha Amalei. Karate, my cousin just passed away, Professor Aaron Levine. He was born on the first day of Pesach and died on the first day of Pesach, like Moshe Rabbeinu. He was born on Zayin Adar and he died on Zayin Adar. So Rav Chaim Volozhin died a week after his birthday. So the Rav Dovid Navarik Efrek Takasha, he should have died on his birthday. So he says, the Teretz is, based on the Gemara, we learned in the end of Sanhedrin, the last paragraph of Sanhedrin, Gemara has a discussion, if a little baby dies, how old does the baby have to be that it should go to Olam Haba? Is there any minimum age? So one opinion in the Gemara is, when the child is old enough to answer Amen, Shomer Amunim, Shomer Amen, and when the child is able to answer Amen. Another opinion, and the third opinion is, if it's a baby boy, when he had the bris milah. If the baby dies before he has the bris milah, he doesn't go to Olam Haba. If he had his bris, then he goes to Olam Haba. He's the ben bris. So Rav Dovid al-Navarik assumes the minig is yimala tekever. Yeah, could be that's why. So this is what Rav Dovid al-Navarik says in the hesped. He asked Akasha, how can it be Rav Chaim Volozhin died a week after his birthday? He should have died on his birthday. So he answers, no, because if he would have died as a baby before the bris milah, he wouldn't go to Olam Haba. So when you say Es Mispa Yamecha Amale, means to the day, Mamalish and Hasem, Yom Liyom, from the day of the bris. From the day of the bris, not the day that the baby is born. But Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar and he died on Zayin Adar. So he says, no, the Gemara says he was Nalan Mohu. So that's why he didn't have to wait 8 days. So it sounds, if we would have such a hesped, we would start laughing. Because we don't take all of Mamar Chazal so literally, so seriously. This is how he started his hesped. This is the hesped that he delivered. And then he went on to say how great Rav Chaim Volozhin was. So the Gemara is working on the pasuk. Vateros kitovu, she saw that he was a good baby. Every mother thinks that a baby is good. What does it mean? So one opinion is, no, that was his name. They gave him a name, Tov. The other opinion, what kind of a name is Tov? Eretz Tov. It says that he went to Eretz Tov. So some say Tov is a person's name. So if, also. Yeah. So the first mandama says, the first time it says, that was his Yiddish name. Moshe was his Goyish name. His Yiddish name was Tov. Second one says, no, Tuvia. Third one says, the mother saw that he's right to become an Avi. And the fourth Tatan says, no, he was Nolan Mahu. That's what it means, Kitovu. And the fifth one says, Vachachamar, and the fifth, each one had a tradition. something. What does the pasuk mean? It doesn't, not to be taken literally. It was a good baby. Every mother thinks her child is a good baby. Oh, so the last one says kitov, right? The last Tana says Bishosh and Olad, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Smala Kalabais Kula Oira, Ksivach Vateirosi Kitov, says Vayaral Kimasor Kitov. There it says Kitov, the whole world was lit up. And here, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house lit up. Then it says that she was successful in hiding her baby for 3 months. How does she succeed in doing that? But Titzmaneu Shlosha Yerochim, and for the Gemara, the Lomon and Mitzrayim, they only counted the 9 months. El Mishor, the Ahadra, they assume the Jewish girl is not going to get married if she's pregnant already. They're not going to be pregnant, so you wait 9 months and then see if they had a baby. The he, she was previously married to her husband. He havas me'ever beit losa yachamikos. She was already pregnant from 3 months before. That was the Gemara's kasha that the Chumash is misrepresenting. It says v'atarho isha v'teilu. That's not true. She was already pregnant from before. So the Gemara answered, no, it's to make a hekesh that she didn't have any chevelei leida. Then the pasuk said v'yochla v'lo yochla od hatzpino. She couldn't hide him anymore. For the Gemara, why not? Just like she was successful hiding the baby the first 3 months, hide him out for longer. You can't hide a baby. Here, this guy was hiding for 10 years. Osama bin Laden. You can't hide out a baby. What's so difficult? And for the Gemara, my titzmenevites, let her hide him the baby for longer. And for the Gemara, they had a policy, the Mitzrayim, when they were searching for the Jewish babies, so they would bring another baby, a Goyisha baby, with them, and they would make the baby cry. So the Teva Ha'olam is, when a baby hears another baby cry, he's going to cry along with them. Whenever the Egyptian government heard, the Messialid Yanuke, they heard that maybe a Jewish baby was born, what they would do would be, Mamta Yanuka Hasim, they would bring a baby there, Kechadilishme Inu, Umoyi Bahade, the baby should cry, and the other baby will hear the first baby cry, and will sob along with him. The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says, Achsalon Shualim, Shualim Katani Mechablim Kramim. It means they had a shtick, the Mitzrayim figured out a whole system, how to catch, how to trap the Jewish babies, how to get them. How to get the parents to admit that they had a baby. Then it says that the mother put him in a little basket and she put him basuf. Why does she put the baby in a soft basket? Wouldn't it make more sense? If you love your baby, you want to protect them. Put him in mahogany wood. Put him in good, strong wood. Goma is very soft. Goma is a piece of reeds. So the Gemara gives two answers. One answer is, it's more expensive. It costs geld. It's more expensive to have a mahogany thing. So even though it's a sakana, a shtikl sakana, wouldn't it be better to protect your baby by spending more money? So the Gemara says, Amar Ablaza Mikan, we see from this pasuk, that tzadikim amayim chaviv aleihem yosem migufim. Why is that? For kol kach loma? Why are they more, it sounds like they're so cheap on their pennies. So that means they don't want to spend, they give tzedakah to others, but they don't want to waste money on themselves, or on their own children. Why don't they want to waste money? Lefi shein poshtim idein begezel, because every penny that they have is hard-earned money that's legally theirs. They're entitled. Other people who are mezalzel and gezel, and they cheat on income tax, and they cheat in business, so big deal. So I got $1 million illegally, so I'll waste the money over here. But tzaddikim, since all the money that they have, they're really entitled to, so that's why sometimes they're mezazel on their own body in order to save a little money. So that's the first suggestion. Right, that's the difficulty with the first pshat. So that's why the second Amora has a better suggestion. No, Dovarach, it's better, it's smarter, it's more intelligent to use a sort basket. If you're going to have a hard, a mahogany boat, so it may bang into a rock and then the whole thing will crack open and the baby will drown. So if you have a soft thing, so it'll bend. It'll bend. So Adarab, it was for the protection, for the better protection of the baby, Moshe Rabbeinu, that she used Dafke Goma, Tevas Goma. Then the Pasuk says that she smeared it with two layers, Vatachmara Bechemer Uva Zofes. What do you mean, Chemer Uva Zofes? Two different layers. Tana, the Brisa says, Chema bibifnim, v'zefes mibachutz. The zefes has the bad smell. K'dei shelo yariach, oso tzadik reach ra. She didn't want her baby, Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddikol, she didn't want him to smell the bad reach of the zephyrs, so she put the chemer bifnim. What does mean chemer bifnim zephyrs machmir mean? Outside, outside. So other mefarshim say it does mean on the outside. They were both on the inside. Who says that? Tosis says, Pirish Rebbe b'shem Rabbeinu Shlomo b'Reb Kleinemus, they were both on the inside. There were two layers. The lower layer was the bad smelling thing. The zephyrs was the lower layer. And bibifnim means the inner layer. The both layers were inside, as opposed to the Poshib Shat in the Gemara, that this bad smelling layer was on the outside of the boat. So Tosis thinks that that's not the pshat, because then the Mitzrayim would recognize right away. If you put a little Tevas Goyme in the suf, so it all looks the same color. It's a good camouflage. Everything looks like reeds, the same color. But if you're going to have in the middle of the suf, you're going to have a basket that's smeared with tar on the outside. It's a dead giveaway that there's something there.
Why don't you have to do the same thing for the table? No.
Yeah.
Apparently he had an ability to do it. He could have mastered the smell like he did for the little...
I understand. When they hear what they say, they right away recognize that's from the Hebrews, that it's that type of table.
No, the Gemara is going to discuss that. How does she know Meyaldehu Evrim who's there? How does she know? So one opinion is that she saw he was Gemal. The Gemara is going to give other suggestions. How did she know? Yeah.
I'm
not sure I can say that,
but now if the water was stronger,
so they needed the... Need on the outside also. Okay. So the Shaila is where Vatasem Basuf. She put the basket, the tevis gaima, in the suf. What is the suf? What is that referring to? So Rabbi Elazar Emor, Yam Suf. That's the famous Yam Suf that Bnei Israel had, Kriyas Yam Suf over there. It wouldn't sound like that from the pasuk. So that's why the next Madama says that that's unreasonable. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Omar, no, it just means agam. The word suf means swamp, yeah. As it says, kind of a suf kamalum. Suf does mean a location on the map. She put him in a swampy area, that's all. There should be camouflage. Everything looks green and it looks like it's part of the view. Doesn't look like there's anything there. Then the pasuk continues, Vaterbas Palirchatz al Hayor. Well, she didn't have a shower in the house. She went to bathe in the Yaor. And for the Gemara, she had a shower in the house. The kings had a shower in the house, or a bathtub, whatever. Amar Rabbi Yechon, Lirchatz means she wanted to be Mizgayer. The father was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and Rashi says on the top line, she wanted to be Tovah L'Shem Geiris. That's interesting. Rashi assumes in the Gemara that even Kodem Matan Torah, there was such an institution of Tefillah and a Mikvah L'Shem Geiris. The Pasuk says in Chumash that Avraham Avinu, when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he took with him HaNefesh Asher Osa B'Chora. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Avraham was Megayris HaNoshim, the Sorah Megayer says Hanoshim. How exactly were they Megayer? So they taught them about monotheism and the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and Bris Milah and Davening Shachris. Fine. And that's it. They just taught them and they accepted it. Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs always the Sam Maisa Geris. So for the men who want to join along, you have to fulfill Milah. What about for the women? Was there any Tefillah in the Mikveh? So this Rashi says there was. The Gemara and Yomamis, it's questionable whether this is the accepted opinion, whether tvila was meaningful, koyde matan Torah.
No bezin was required. By reaction.
Yeah, apparently they cried from bezin, that's only after matan Torah. Yeah. So that's what Rabbi Shimon Baichoi, Rabbi Yechon quotes the name, Rabbi Shimon Baichoi, Teret bas para lirchot al hayar means to be tovel in the mikveh, l'shem geris, migiluli avir. Do you find such an expression, lirchot, to wash off the Avodah Zarah and to become Jew? Lirchatz means to bathe the body from the dirt. Do you have such an expression in Tanakh? V'chein ho'emer, im rochatz Hashem es tzoyas b'nos tzion. It doesn't mean that God is going to wash off the filth on their body. No, He's going to wash off the sins. So you see that the word lirchatz is used metaphorically. So here also, lirchatz alayar means to be megayer, to wash off the Avodah Zarah and to be mekabel monotheism. Then it says, v'narasel holchos al yad hayor. When she went to be tovel in the mikveh, so the other maidens, her mishorsas, were going with her. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, ein alich zuel aloshen misa v'chein oimer hein anecha halech lamus. They all lost their lives. Why did they lose their lives? So Rashi fills in fills in the Gemara. The Gemara has it later, the Agarita, that the Malach came, Gabriel HaMalach came, and they wanted to prevent her. She wanted to violate her father's instructions. She sees a baby, obviously a Jewish baby, and then she's going to keep him alive. And the father gave instructions to kill. So all of the Misharsos, all of the Nareseh were complaining, how can you violate your father's instructions? So she was upset at them. So Bor Gavriel, Gavriel HaMalach came, and he killed all of them. So that's what it means. When Nareseh, Holchos, Al Yarayar, they were all Hoylech Lomas. They were all given the death punishment by Gavriel. Then it continues, but when she went to be Toivol, the Shem Geris, to accept monotheism. That's interesting, what's happening now. After the Nazis killed so many Jews, so many of the Germans, who were children and grandchildren of the Nazis, tried to figure out what did the Jewish people do to deserve such a suffering. So when they looked into it, so a lot of them realized that their parents and their grandparents did an Avla, and many more Germans are converting than people from other nationalities. Apparently over there also, when she was interested in converting to Judaism, because her father was oppressing the Jewish people, and they should kill all the Jewish baby boys, so she started to investigate, what is Judaism all about? So she fell in love with Judaism. The same thing after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there were many, many Gerim, unusual amount of Gerim from the Romans. So that's apparently what happened over here. She was trying to figure out, what does the father have against the Jews? So she studied about Judaism. So she decided to convert. So she sees, Vateras HaTeva B'Sel Chasuf. So what happened? She realized the Jewish baby came in the Chazu. When the Nareseha realized the Kobaya, she's interested, Latzuli L'Moshe, that Baspar is interested in saving this Jewish little baby, Omra Lo. So they said to her, Givir Aseinu, our Balabasta, our master, Menogah Shel Olam, the common practices, Melech Basav Adam goes Gzeira, Im Kol Olam Kula, Im Mekayim Masa, even if the people in the country don't listen, Abavanav Ibn Ibeza Mekayim Masa, but the children of the king do follow the instructions of the father. At, Averis Al Gzeira Savich, you are violating your father's instructions, and she wanted to convert, and she wanted to save this Jewish baby. So Bo Gavril V'chavata Mekarka, he killed all of them, we'll see in a minute. The next line, it says Vatishlach es amosa vatikachel. So how do you translate Vatishlach es amosa? So the Gemara has a machlegs Rabbi Ram Nechemia, machlegs Hatanoim. Chad Amah, one says Yoda, she stretched out her arm. An arm is usually an amo, meaning from the elbow to the end is an amo, six tfachim. Vatishlach es amosa, it was very far away. So the Gemara says her arm, a miracle occurred, and her arm stretched out, and it got longer than it normally was, so it was able to reach the basket. The Chadaman, the other one says, no, Shivchasa, Oma. Oma in Hebrew means a Shivcha. So what do you mean Shivchasa? But it just says Gabriel wiped them all out. And for the Gemara later, no, it's not their Heretz that the Bas HaMelech should walk without any Mishorsim. So Gabriel killed all of them except for one. And that one who remained alive, so she realized she better go along with the Bas Paro, or she'll lose her life also. The Malach will kill her too. So Batishlach HaSamasa, Bas Paris sent that Shivcha. So the Gemara is going to go into this dispute. How do you translate Batishlach as Amosa? Amosa means her arm, which is an Amo's length, or Amosa means an Amo, like an Amo Ivri, and Chumash, an Amo Shivcha. Mande Amo Yoda Dichsiv Amosa, an Amo. Mande Amo Shivchasa, Menelexiv Yoda. Let it say Batishlach as Yoda. Fregn the Gemara, Mande Amo Shivchasa, but you just said Bo Gavriel, the Chavata Mekarka. It says Gavriel killed all of the Meshursos. All the Nareseh HaOlchas, they were all punished. And with the Gemara, Dishia Lachada, Gabriel left alive one of the Nairas, because the Lava Rechar de Bas Malka Lamekam Lechudo. It's not Derech Eretz for the daughter of the king to go all by herself. So out of Derech Eretz, he allowed one of them to be alive, and that's the one who was Mishores Bas Parah, and she went to take the bisque. Freg de Gemara, Lamandi Amma Yoda, Licht of Yoda, if the word Amasa means her arm, so why didn't it say Yoda? Yoda means an arm. Emphating more, Hokamashmalon, the Ishtarbubi Ishtarbav. Her arm got elongated, and she didn't have to walk over, but Tishlach and Samasa, she stretched out her arm, and a miracle occurred, and the arm became longer. Because we have such a statement in Maseches Megillah, the Yom Amar, when Achashverosh saw Esther coming without permission, so she was afraid to go. without permission, because the king may decide to kill her. So the king stretched out the Shavit Azov, and then she took it. So the Medr says there in Megillah, she was far away from the Shavit Azov. A miracle occurred, and she started to stretch her hand out, and her hand became longer. The same miracle occurred when Basparva Tishlech HaSamosa. So that Tana in Megillah, and Daf Tezvav, it says, that Tana who says that the same type of a miracle that occurred to Esther, that her arm became longer, the same Echeinat HaMoitzeh Ba'amosah Shal Basparoi, that Tana is of the opinion that Amosah means her arm, it doesn't mean a Shifcha. If it's a Shifcha, so there was no miracle of anything stretching out. Then that Mandoma says, that Tana says, Echeinat HaMoitzeh B'Shini V'Shoim. We have a Pasuk, Dichsiv Shini V'Shoim Shibarto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu smashes the teeth of the Rishoyim. The Omer HaShlokish, HaShlokish made a comment, and that Pasuk, Al-Tikri Shibarto, Elo, Sherivavto. And the Gemara in Brochus as a whole, Agadat Rashi alludes to it a little bit, about Og Melech HaBoshon, they wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, and he picked up a whole tremendous mountain. He was a giant, he wanted to drop it on the Jewish people, and then somehow it got caught in his teeth. How did it get caught? Because he had buck teeth, I guess, and the teeth became longer. The teeth became stretched out. Shini Rishayim Shir Vavto, the Sharbev means to elongate, to stretch out, in such a way that the whole mountain of earth that he picked up got stuck in his long teeth. And he couldn't get it off of his head. So the Gemara, that Tanah, Megillah, that Tosfos says that there are three places in Tanakh that you have that something stretched out. The teeth of Og Melech HaBoshan and the arm of Basparo, and Esther's arm when she took the Shavit Azov. Then it says, Vatiftach Vatirehu Es Hayelet. Vatirehu means Vatira also. So what does it say? Vaita Es Hayelet. Vatirehu. We should say Vatire Es Hayelet. Vatire Meboile. Vatire. Vatiftach Vatire Es Hayelet. What is it? Vatirehu Es Hayelet. It means imayelit. She saw him, they saw the Shechina was with the little baby. So then she realized this is an unusual baby. There was a Hashras HaShechina with the baby. Then the Pasuk is problematic. It says, Vatirehu es hayelit. Yelit means a little baby. And then it says, Vehine nar boiche. A nar means a young man, older than a little baby. Korele yelit v'korele nar. It's astira. Was it a little baby or was it an adult? And for the Gemara, Tana, it says in the Braisa, the answer is, who? Yeled. He was a little tiny baby. He was only 3 months old. Bekolo kanar. But he screamed so loud, like an adult, has the koyach to scream with the koyach. They were abuted. That's what one Tana says. Amalei Rab Nechemia, Moshe Rabbeinu given Alevi. The job of the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash was divided into two. Some of them were Meshorim, and some of them were Shorim. Some were in charge of locking the gates. That's how it says in Divrei Yom. Some of them had to sing Nigunim when they had the Shir Shal Yom. So if you have a Kohen is a Bal Mum, if he has a Mum, a physical Mum on his body. A Levi, Mumim don't passel by a Levi. There's a Mishnah Megillah that Shonim only passel by the Leviim, don't passel by the Kohanim. It says in Chumash that the Leviim can only function between the age of 30 and the age of 50. And after 50, Yoshe Mitzvah HaVoidah. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, that's only HaRosha on the Midbar. It didn't apply the Doros. Because in the Midbar, they had to carry all the Kalim. So over 50, it's not right to ask people to schlep such heavy stuff. So it says in the Mishnah, Shonim pasal b'levim, they don't pasal b'kohanim. And Mumim pasal b'kohanim doesn't pasal b'levim. What pasal is by kohanim doesn't apply to levim. What pasal by levim doesn't pasal by kohanim. So by levim, there's no din of a balmum if he has a mum on his body. But if he doesn't have a good voice, then he can't sing in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's where Rav Nechemia, the Tana, argues back at Reb Yudah. If you're going to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a little infant, 3 months old, had such a loud scream, like an adult, so he's a Balmum. And can't assess the Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum for one who's a Levi.
It's a Mum over, it's a Mum Kabua. He was younger, so he was precocious again. When he gets older, he'll have a regular
Mum. Could be, I don't know. Sometimes, like Rabbi Soloveitchik was a Levi, he did not have a good voice. There's some people just don't have a good voice. Rabbi Soloveitchik also did not have a good voice. They were talking Bali Mum. They were Levim who were Bali Mum. So the Gemara says, you're imputing. Probably. I don't know. You have to look then, they were young, I don't know. That's why they took the name Soloveitchik, when the government, when the Russian government required that every family had to take on a family name. So their family tradition was that they were descendants from the Meshorim, from the Levim who sang. So that's why they took the name Soloveitchik, which means a nightingale which sings beautifully. So they supposedly were the good singers. The Soloveitchiks that we knew did not sing well. Maybe their Elter Zedis did. Okay. So Reb Nechemiah is upset at Reb Yehuda. How can you say that? That's what the Pasuk is emphasizing. That Moshe Rabbeinu had a bad voice. He had a voice like an adult. Balmum. Ella, he thinks that it's a different shot. Atiftach v'atireo is anar. What it means is malam shosal ima chupas nu'urim bateva. The mother didn't think she's going to live so long. They're killing the Jews right and left, and she's already 130 years old. She's an old lady. How is she going to survive all these pogroms and all these gzeiros ras? So she was messiah. She thought, I'll never be zecha to see my son get married. She didn't see. He ran away to Midian and got married out of town. He wasn't able to invite his parents to the chasana. So she felt bad. She's probably going to miss his wedding, which she did. So she made a little chuppah in the an imitation chuppah in the little basket. Malame, the pasuk means about tifach batireu es anar. Usually boys get married at a young age. Now they get married in their early 20s. Apparently in the days of Tanakh they get married earlier than that, as teenagers. So she made a little chuppah which would normally be made for a teenager who's getting married. Shosu salaimo, Yocheved made a chuppas ni'urim bateva. Omra, what was her thinking? Shem ala yaskelu chuppasai. I may not live so long to see my son get married. So she made a chuppah now. So the pasuk continues, Vatachma lalov, baspara had rachmanes, but she certainly thought, Miyalde hoivim zeh, must be a Yiddish baby. Figma mino yoda, how does she know that this is a Yiddish baby? And for the Gemara, the first madama says, Shruas also mohol. She saw that he was gemalt. According to one opinion on Amaral, he was not mohol. He didn't have a bris. It wasn't that they did anything. Okay, but still, that was the siman of a Jewish baby who was mahum. Am Rabbi Yechon Malamish in Esnab Shalom Midaita. How does it say? Oh, it says Me Yalde Ho'ivrim Ze. What do you mean Me Yalde Ho'ivrim Ze? It should say Me Yalde Ho'ivrim Who? This baby. What do you mean Ze? Am Rabbi Yechon Malamid when Baspara said Me Yalde Ho'ivrim Ze. She said in the Nevuah, at the time she said it, she didn't realize herself what she said. What she meant to say was, this is the only baby who's going to be thrown into the river, and from now on, my father's gzera is going to be off. Baspara didn't realize that's what she said. This is the end of the gzera. And the Gemara says that that is the case. How do you know? Da'amar Abulaz, we have a tradition. The pasuk says in Yishai that there's such a thing. There are astrologers who look into the stars. They gaze into the stars, and they say asidos, and they themselves don't even understand what they're saying. But there is truth to it. There's such a thing as niba v'liyadam ashaniba. So she said in nevuah. She didn't even realize that she was saying in nevuah. So what happened was rosh emashin shayisol ba'mayim huloike. The astrologers have figured out, based on their looking in the stars, that the leader of the Jewish people is going to be Moshiach them, is going to pull them out of this mess, is going to be punished by Mayim. So they thought by Mayim is going to be drowned in the river. So that's why Paris said, Kol HaBeilah Yilod, Ayora Tashlichu, Omde Begozer Kol HaBeilah Yora Tashlichu. Paris made that Gzeira, throw him into the river, based on his misunderstanding of the astrology. That is going to be loke, is going to be punished in the river. So he thought loke means he's going to drown. Once the mother put Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket, in the suf, Amru, then the astrologers looked again and said, we don't see it anymore. We don't see this astrology anymore. There's going to be loke. Amru, sula chazina. We don't see it anymore. Kiho simana. We don't see anymore that the Moshiach Shal Yisrael is going to suffer in the water. So they thought, oh, he already drowned. They must have drowned many Jewish babies. So at that time, Batluk Zerasai. So that's what Bas Parah said. This is going to be the end of my father's Gzera. She herself didn't realize that that's what she was saying. But that's Lamaisa what it turned out to be. And the whole thing was all based on a mistake. Like the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the astrologers are tzayfim veinam yodim matzayfim. Mahagim, they say things they don't know what they're talking about. So over here, the whole thing was a mistake. That loike b'mayim is shalmei meriva holoke. He's going to be punished when he said shimuna hamayrim. That's going to be loike b'mayim. Not loike b'mayim is not going to drown now in the yam. V'hayin adam rab chamer rab chanina ma'ayin d'chsiv heima mei meriva. Says Nechumash, after Moshe Rabbeinu was told he's going to be punished, he's not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk says, and that's what we were talking about all along. Heima mei meriva. That is the famous mei meriva. What famous mei meriva? No, that's the mei meriva that the astrologers saw with the Choyzei HaKachavim, and they didn't understand. Heima mei meriva, heima shero, it's tagnini parvito. That was the mistake that they made. V'ayra d'kama Moshe, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shesh me'aselef ragli. So the Pasha Pshat is, there's a population of people going by foot. Shesh meos elef ragli, 600,000 Jewish people, between the age of 20 and 60, aside from the children, aside from the adults, aside from the women, aside from the Erev Rav. Yeah. So Pasha Pshat, Shesh me'aselef ragli, people walking by foot. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Shesh Me'aselef people survived Liragli because of me. When they threw me in the basket, that was the end of the Gzeirah. Because the Chozi HaKachavim stopped seeing, for some reason or another, they stopped seeing that Moshim Shal Yisrael is going to be Loka Bamayim. So that's when Parah stopped the Gzeirah. So they stopped killing the babies. So there were 600,000 people, men, Ragli, Liragli, because of me. Amalah Moshe Yisrael Bishvili Nitzaltem Kulchem. Everybody was saved because of me, because when they threw me in the basket, that was the end of the Gzeirah. Okay, then I was going to continue with more drashas. Okay. You have the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Amor about the Kohanim, all the special dinim from the Kohanim. Then it has dinim, how we're supposed to treat the Kohanim. So it says, V'kidashtoi, ke'eslechem alakechu hum akriv. So the Gemara has two levels of interpretation on the Kiddushta. One level is we should be mechabed the Kohen, to give him the first aliyah, and so on. Whenever there's a Kohen with non-Kohen, we should always be mechabed the Kohen. So the Gemara says in Gittin, Perak HaNezokin, that if the Kohen wants to, he can be moichel on his kovet. Whenever there's a chi of kovet, you have a right to be moichel on the kovet. The Mishnah says in Gittin, in Perak HaNezokin, the Mishnah gives a whole list of Takonis the Rabbana that were instituted in Neitikin Olam. So one of the Takonis is that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Kohen gets the first Aliyah as a mitzvah in HaTorah? The Gemara says, no, mitzvah in HaTorah, but he can be moichel on the Kohen. And with the Rabbana, they made a Takonis that he shouldn't be moichel. Because one day he will be moichel to Pliny. This man has Yartzeit, and you have to be moichel on your Kohen. The two people have Yartzeit. So you're going to give Kohen Levi. There's only an Aliyah for one person. So they'll be Meichel on his covet, so they won't call up any Kohen or Levi. They'll only call three Israelim, and they're both Yartzeitim will get an Aliyah. And the next day, they'll ask him to be Meichel on his covet. He said, no, I don't like him. I won't be Meichel on my covet. I want an Aliyah. It's my birthday, whatever. I want an Aliyah. It's my bar mitzvah, parasha or something. So the Gemara says it'll cause machlokes. It'll be Meichel for some, and not be Meichel for the others. So in Pnei Tikkur Olam, they said he should always get the first Aliyah, and he should never be Meichel on his covet. But Minat Torah, the Gemara says, he can be moichel on his kovet. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. That's the Gemara in Gittin, the Perak HaNezokin. Then the Gemara has in Yevamos, if a Kohen marries a woman whom he's not allowed to marry, so the Gemara says, V'kidashtei bal karchai. You have to force him to get divorced from the wife. So the Gemara says, D'sachadine kola tarkulim. Whenever a person is doing an avera, you have to try to pressure him to stop doing the avera. So the Gemara says, here, even if it's only a suffix, it's not a vada, it's still the kiddashta bal korcha. So there's no stira. So some of the achranim ask, here he said the kiddashto does not apply bal korcha. If he wants to be moichel on his covet, he may. And there you say the kiddashta bal korcha. There are two different kinds of kiddashtos. One is the kiddashta to be mechabed him. So whenever there's a covet, so you never give covet bal korcha. V'tzonu shalot himzeh kvoda, if he doesn't want, so it's nishkin covet. The other interpretation, the other level of interpretation is totally different. The kiddashta, you have to see to it that the Kohanim don't violate the Isuri Kohanim. So that's when the Gemara says, V'kiddashta bal korchai. If he dafke wants to marry the Grusha, you have to pressure him to get divorced. Included in the kiddashta, Rav Soloveitchik, included in the kiddashta is that we should tried to the best of our ability to preserve the yuchsin and Klal Yisrael. They had an American shaila that you have people get married and you fill out the ksuba and you ask, "Are you kohen Levi Yisrael?" They don't know what you're talking about. They never heard about kohen Levi Yisrael. People are so far away from religious observance, they don't even know that there are three parts to the Jewish people. So Rav Soloveitchik insisted in his school in Maimonides that when the children have to write their names for homework or for a test paper, they have to write so-and-so HaKoyen or so-and-so HaLevi. So that they should remember, even if their family is not religious, they should remember that you have to ascertain first who's the Koyen, who's the Levi. You have to remember who the Yuchsin are in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara has HaKor L'Chavera Mamzer. If I call someone else a dirty name, he's a Mamzer, he's a Cholol. So the Gemara says, he give him Malkus. Look our boy, why do you give him Malkus? Because he's in violation of this din of Kiddashtoi. You have to try to preserve to the best of our ability what the Yuchsin are. The Gemara has also, Ein Sham Koyin, if there's no Koyin, so the Gemara says, Nisparda HaChavilo. Means that you don't have to give the Levi the first Aliyah. So Rashi has two pshat. And one pshat is, you don't have to give the Levi the first Aliyah. The other pshat is, you're not allowed to give the Levi the first Aliyah. What's up? You're not allowed. And the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should be choshish for that opinion. You should, the Gabbai should not give the Levi the first Aliyah, unless the Levi is the biggest Talmid Chacham. So he gets it by virtue of the fact that he's the Talmid Chacham. Right, Rav Soloveitchik, when there was no Kayin, so they wanted to call him up. So he said, no, Rashi says you're not allowed to call. So they said, but you're the biggest Talmid Chacham. He was the Rebbe. So he said, for educational purposes. He insisted he doesn't want to take the first Aliyah. They should all know that the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should be Machmeh for this Shitas Rashi. What kind of a Shita is that? Why are you not allowed to call up a Levi? So he said, you're not allowed to, Rashi's other opinion seems to be, you're not allowed to give the Levi the same degree of Kovid that a Kohen deserves. That is also part of the Kiddashtoi. You have to preserve the Yuchsin, this is a Kohen, this is a Levi, and a Kohen deserves a higher level of Kibbut than the Levi. So if there's no Kohen, someone has to get the first Aliyah. So if you give a Yisrael, you're not giving him because he's up to someone higher than anybody else. He's a Yisrael like everybody else, but if the Ein Sham Kohen you're going to give the Levi, so that's also a kilkul in the Madregas of the Yuchsin. You're being Mechaber a Levi to the same extent that you're supposed to be Mechaber a Kohen, and that's not proper. So the Gemara has, these are the two levels of interpretation in the mitzvah of the Kiddushah. Two parts to the din of the Kiddushah. Okay. Or maybe. Amen. Amen.